Hello, good people. My name is Ty. Welcome to A Social Experiment. In today's episode, we will be going over one of the most famous philosophers ever to exist. That is Hegel, the ultimate German idealist. Before that, there are a few messages from me. So listen to those. We'll hop right into it. Hello, good people. My name is Ty, host of A Social Experiment. And before we hop into today's episode, I would like to tell you about Audible. Audible is an incredible service for anything to do with books. You can find your favorite authors, readers, and books themselves on there. You can also find A Social Experiment in any other RoRoCo production. So just hop on over there. Create an account using the link in the description. It helps me out more than you could possibly know. Thank you very much. Back to the show. Welcome back, folks. So before I begin today, I would like to state that this is probably one of the most difficult episodes I've had to put together, and that is mainly because Hegel is so all-encompassing, he's so unbelievably inclusive, that it's hard to pin down his philosophy exactly. I've tried to do it here. Today we're going to be talking about the spirit and how it relates to humanity as a whole and its history and where it will be, but ultimately there are so many different facets of Hegelian philosophy that it's difficult to pin it all down. And I don't doubt that later on we will go into more specific details of Hegelian philosophy. But today, we're going to talk about the spirit, the Geist. So Hegel is a German idealist. He is. He's one of the best. Not the best, not in my consideration, but he is one of the best. And his idea about the spirit is probably his most famous, or the Geist in German. So the Geist and the spirit, why is this significant at all? Well, says Hegel and many other philosophers, it's the only part of the world which isn't nature, which isn't physical, which isn't matter. It is, however, it is mind, it is reason, it is thought, it is soul, and it's not individual at all. Or I should say, it is semi-individual. And this relates to Kant. This humanity idea, this idea of humanity as one being, and everyone has the same thought about how they want to govern themselves. Or generally speaking. And this extends to governments and nations, says Kant, this idea of the categorical imperative. This extends to every strata of the social ladder, even God, right? Even God and angels are bound by this categorical imperative. In fact, in the last lecture on Kierkegaard, we talked about how to test out if God was really God in a Kantian point of view, you test if they followed the categorical imperative, and if so, it may be God. If not, then it's not. It may be the devil in disguise. But this is the idea, that humanity is this all-encompassing force that has this Geist, this spirit. And it is individual, in the sense that there is a Geist within each one of us, there is a soul within each one of us. We coagulate into one giant Geist, if that makes sense. And so Hegel says that all of humankind can be categorized this way, as I've just laid out. And the entirety of humankind forms a sort of life history, similar to that of an individual human being. And this is how the individual and the humanity are connected. This is why Geist is both individual and all-encompassing. Because of this idea that the entirety of humankind forms a life history similar to that of the human being, you can tie phases of humankind to an individual human being. So not only can we look back on human experience and analyze correctly the phases of humanity from this, but from that, we can look forward and see where we're destined to go. So this idea of destiny and spirit plays strongly in here. Very, very Christian themes. But not an uncomfortable idea of Christianity, not a morbid idea of Christianity that we see in Kierkegaard. This idea of the destiny is still present, but it's present in the form of a Geist. What we see a lot through the Enlightenment are philosophers trying to tie these Christian ideas which they hold to be comfortable and which they prize. They try to wrap them, these ideas, in an intellectual swaddling cloth in order so that they don't die when the Newtonian world comes into play, when the British empiricists take over, when the French realists take over. They're trying to prepare their Christian ideas for the New Age. And this is what we see here, this sort of intellectualized idea of a destiny. So just a little quick review before I go on. The entirety of humankind, says Hegel, can be compared to that of an individual human being. The history of it can. And because of that, you can tie phases of humankind to that of an individual human being. And not only does that mean that we can look back on human experience and analyze correctly the phases of humanity, but from that, we can look forward and see where we're destined to go, because the individual ages much more rapidly than humanity as a whole. And so the spirit, this Geist is within humanity as a whole. And from this, as I say, you can extrapolate the goals of human history and guess where we'll end up. And from this, you can find a point or goal of history. You can find a point of humanity. Which is what many philosophers up until this point have been trying to do. Not many have attempted to do it after Hegel. The very taking on of this crusade into the realm of thought to try and pinpoint a specific reason or meaning for humanity is heroic in itself, or at least is worth applause. But of course, you bring this to its natural end, and you have the end of the world. And so Hegel looks to the end of the world. And this is, of course, very, very present in Christian scripture. One of the reasons, no doubt, that it's even in here to begin with. This reconciliation between God and man, the revelation, right? And God's going to come down and he's going to cash everybody's tokens at one point. God is ultimately going to come down and rescue humanity from the fate which God himself has imposed upon mankind. And so revelation. But how do we even get there? This all seems like a little bit of a stretch. Well, Hegel says that we can connect everything through history, and that once you connect everything through history, it's not a very far gone conclusion to see this end. And so the metaphysical in this is brought down and overlaid atop of our very natural existence. And this is the idea of, you know, putting Christian religious ideas in intellectual swaddling cloth. This idea that you're remodeling these Christian ideas to fit within a more intellectual framework. And what's different about Hegel is that he believes he can prove all of this through example. And so why has the Geist evolved? How has it changed? Does it follow laws? Can it be predicted? All good questions. And Hegel says, firstly, yes to all of this. The Geist can absolutely be predicted. We can analyze it, and we can pinpoint exactly where it's going to be. And the spirit is renewed with time, says Hegel. You know, you can think of this as cells. Just as cells are reborn and die out within the same organism, to the point where the body it's inhabiting is almost entirely new. And so is the Geist. That isn't to say that the Geist is like a cell in just sheer numbers, although I suppose it could be. There seems to be the Geist that we hold within ourselves, our spirit, our being, our mind, right? And our individual aspect. But of course, there's that niggling idea that works its way into almost every philosophy from its creation, and that is, the man is the city and the city is the man. I've brought this up quite a few times in past lectures, and it's really true, it's quite apparent. But of course, in this example, the city has become the city-state, which then becomes the nation or the conglomerate of city-states, which then becomes the world, right? This idea of endless scalability. So ultimately, the conglomerate of individuals makes up the Geist, or rather, make up humanity as a whole, by which we find the Geist in culture, or what have you. Any sort of human endeavor, we find the Geist. And going back to the example of cells, we are the cells in the organism that is humanity. I mean, humanity has been compared many, many times to rats or cockroaches or something plentiful, but really we are the cells, says Hegelian philosophy, in this ultimate framework of humanity. Amazing. And so out of this, what does all of this mean? Out of this, the renewal of the spirit. We gain this sense of a cultural spirit of the times, and that's why we can pinpoint segments in history, you know, the Enlightenment, medieval times, etc. Because each position in time has its own categorization, has its own spirit that is very central to that time, Enlightenment, the Renaissance, what have you. The digital age, for example. And so our current spirit, says Hegel, is becoming more knowledgeable. An ever-increasing knowledge, and we see this all throughout human history, you know, from cavemen to now. It's just a constant stream upwards in our gaining of knowledge. The spirit, says Hegel, is becoming more knowledgeable of itself, of the world, the physical in which it lives. And so our current spirit knows how to control nature, knows how to push it around, and it knows that it's free. And with that, we've increased our power, or humanity, rather, has increased its power. And so the point and purpose of humanity becomes trying to achieve maximum power, trying to achieve maximum knowledge, whatever that means. I guess it means that it's an absolute, the idea of an all-encompassing knowledge, maybe not held by one individual cell, or rather human being, but by humanity as a whole. All of us have our different professions, have our different slots in life, all of us wield different knowledge, and that coagulation, as I've stated multiple times, becomes humanity. And humanity, then, as a whole, becomes all-knowledgeable. Or at least it will be, says Hegelian philosophy. Now, this is quite familiar. We know of someone who is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable. Who might that be? Why, of course, it's God. all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, very familiar. And the end of the world comes with the unification of God and man. Our ultimate goal as humanity is to be with God again, to reach that unification. And that's why we're constantly trying to be all-knowledgeable, all-encompassing, because God is all-knowledgeable, all-encompassing, all-powerful. It's that constant bridge to reunification. And the end of the world comes with reunification, because of course that is the idea of Revelation. God will come down and cash everybody's tokens and reunify. And so it's time for our weekly megamaniacal philosophical tendency to talk about. And that, in this case, of course, is Hegel. So Hegel believes that he's just not one part of the Geist, like any rest of us, but that he is the Geist, or one of the most important members of the Geist, because he, I mean, think about it, if you truly believe you are Hegel, and you truly believe that you have just written down what the Geist is, and with that you've written down what humanity is, you think that you've solved the Enlightenment. In fact, that's what he thinks that the Enlightenment means. It's man discovering what he truly is. We've been enlightened not only to who we are, but are now able to put context on everything we've done thus far, and are now able to look beyond the present and predict accurately our course. Which, of course, that is invaluable. That's invaluable. It's the idea of realizing our potential, our natural purpose. This is a very key idea in most philosophies, this idea of natural purpose, or at least human-based philosophies. This idea that everything has this natural, take an acorn for example, its natural purpose is to grow, and given the right temperature and given the right conditions, it will grow into this beautiful tree, right? So this natural purpose that humanity, or rather a man, take a human being, and from its conception, it is on this course to achieve this brilliance, to achieve this knowledge, to achieve this position in society, right? So is humanity. Humanity was born from the caveman, the infancy, and has grown into this force to be reckoned with, or at least by our standards, a force to be reckoned with. Certainly more knowledgeable than ever before, certainly more powerful than ever before. It's an interesting concept. And so with this, Hegel thinks that he's just ended history. Because if the entire purpose of history is to go and find God, or to go and realize what we are, if Hegel has truly just realized what we are, he has ended history. And because history is our constant struggle to realize ourselves and connect back with the divine, Hegel has just done this for us. And so Hegel, really, is the most important member of the Geist, if not the Geist himself, at least for that brief moment. Wow. An incredible transformation here. From nothing, from just the infancy, to the superpower that we are today. And this process is still going on. Of course, the scary part with this is that humans experience old age, they wither, decay, and die. So what happens to humanity? And what stage are we in now? It's an interesting thought. But these ideas are adopted and tweaked by many philosophers later on, but no philosopher has really tried something like this, or at least this daunting sense. The idea that you can describe the entire purpose of human existence, as well as what humanity is and its role in the universe. People have not really ventured so far as to take that on since. Not saying that Hegel is correct, in fact many people view his ideas as being incorrect. But it's, again, interesting. So one person who picks up these ideas is Karl Marx. And this is pretty self-evident once you take a look at it. The idea of plotting human history. The idea that humanity has a destiny, this idea of manifest destiny, that humanity proves its own course. We are the cells that inhabit an organism which is trying to become God. And so, in essence, we ourselves are God. Each one of us carries a small portion of God, and we're each trying to find ourselves, to reunify back with the divine. Fascinating. As are many religious philosophies, I find religious philosophies in themselves to be very, very fascinating. Now, whether or not this is correct, people have been debating that since its inception, since its creation. But I'll leave you with that, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in to A Social Experiment. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, do all the stereotypical stuff. I'm about to get very cringy here, so just hit the like button, engage with the content however you can, share, do whatever. If you really like the show, share it with a friend. It helps out more than you could possibly know. Appreciate you, all of you around the world, for the unending support and all the messages. And if you want to message me something, do it. Absolutely. I would love to hear what you have to say. But thank you, folks. I'll see you next week. Goodbye.